Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The most valuable commodity I know of is information. Wouldn't you agree?
I got $5. This is a run to the left.
How many tackles can one man break?
You're saying that humans need fantasy to make life bearable?
Humans need fantasy to be human.
My goodness, that was good.
You guys are pros. The best.
Relentless, refusing to give up.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fantasy Flex Podcast. This is your fantasy preview for Super Bowl 58. I'm your host, Chris Raymond of the Action Network. And joining me to break down the game, the number one fantasy ranker in the game, the most accurate projector, most accurate odds setter, the odds maker, Sean Kerner. Sean, what's going on?
What's up? Happy Super Bowl week. Bit disappointed we're not going to be in Vegas to watch the game, but maybe we could watch it here in LA.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a zoo. Like, I was in Arizona last year. It's a great experience, but it is a zoo. So I know, like, people like us, we're kind of exhausted by the time we get to what is it, week 22 or 23?
So or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Really, right? Yeah, when you count preseason and all that stuff. So we'll be chilling. But
Track all my, you know, 15 and 20 bets on the back of a pizza box again.
I think it was an envelope. Oh no, it was the back of a pizza box. You're right. Yeah. That was, I'm looking forward to like going to get pizza while like the top receiver in the game tears their ACL.
Oh yeah. I thought you may have thought I was like pranking you on that, but unfortunately it was true. Odell Beckham was out.
Hey, he'll, you know, who's, he got his ring, so that, at least that happened. But yeah, we're gonna break down all the we're gonna try to touch on all the relevant players here in this Super Bowl matchup as far as it pertains to DFS. We'll also build we'll go head to head to build a lineup so that, you know, you'll kind of see, you know, even if some guys are gone and there's like some alternate lineup constructions, we'll see how that goes. So we'll get into all of that. And also, a reminder, if you haven't left us a 5-star or a rating and review and you enjoy the show, please jump in and do that. All feedback is a gift. We choose our top rating and review each week, and you can get a free year of Action Pro or some swag from the Action Network store. This week's winner is Matt H-Man, so thank you, Matt H-Man. You can hit up podcast@actionnetwork.com to claim your prize. Also, don't forget Action Network Discord. More information, the link in the episode description for that. And if you download the free award-winning Action Network app, we have our newest feature, Fantasy Sync. So if you play Prize Picks, you're going to love that link in the episode description as well. But without further ado, let's get into Super Bowl 58. Chiefs Niners. Niners favored by 2, total 47 and a half. Luck ranking wise, I know it's like a, it kind of has a lean to a luck over. Just any thoughts before we get into it, just on your general thoughts on the game, or, you know, game script, any way in particular you think this is going to go? Do you think the market has it right, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the market has it right. I think the Niners are the better team on paper, but this is, you know, a dynasty in the Chiefs, and possibly one of the best quarterbacks ever play the game, Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not interested in betting against him. So I haven't picked a side yet. Same thing with the total. I would lean towards the under. I think both teams will probably attack their weaknesses, which is the run defense. But the luck rank, you know, 2.5, you know, pointing to the over does give me pause. So that's just a lean too. So no official plays on the side or total yet, but I have like 15 props out there. Have you locked in anything on the side or total yet?
I'll be on Kansas City. I haven't locked in like my biggest bet on Kansas City because I'm just waiting to see how the line moves. But I mean, I'll obviously have write-ups on this, but, and I've talked about it in the pods, but I just think once you really start digging into handicap, you have to make so many adjustments for the Chiefs just based on what they were doing early in the season, you know, versus what they're doing now. For example, like Kelsey wasn't playing the full snaps he's playing now. Rice wasn't playing, you know, all those like Tony Hardman, Sky Moore guys were playing a lot more. So once you do all that math, I think it's a lot more closer to a coin flip game. So I think the Chiefs are a little bit undervalued. The total is kind of tough for me because I just see a wide range of outcomes. So I don't really have a play on the total. But I think as far as DFS goes, you know, we talk about this all the time. Your lineup, you get six spots or five, depending on what site you're playing. Your lineup just has to tell a story. So, you know, you could kind of say, okay, well, this is if I think it's going to be a high scoring game. If it's going to be a low scoring game, maybe you throw in like a kicker or a defense or something like that. So it's just about kind of telling that story, in your lineup. All right. Let's go position by position here. Do it a little different because so we can kind of hit on every player. At quarterback, I guess the question I'll ask you is, you know, the Mahomes versus Purdy matchup. I think, you know, UI and Friedman talked on our Propapalooza pod that at one point books had, you know, Mahomes, I think at 21.5. Fantasy points and Purdy at 19.5. Both of those are a little bit high, but just in terms of the value, what are you looking at? What are your thoughts on Purdy versus Mahomes in this spot?
Yeah, I think the prices are about right. I think Mahomes should obviously be higher priced than Purdy. I have him about 2.5 points more projected. So, you know, $600 sounds about right. I do think Purdy, his rostership might be a bit too low here. I'm expecting a lot of people to be on Mahomes, but you know, Purdy has a ton of weapons. He can spread it around, you know, throw it to Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey. So I think he's a solid captain play as well. And something that I talked about before the year even started was he does have some sneaky rushing upside, even if he doesn't really tap into it that much. But when you look at his 40-yard dash, the first 10 yards of it, he was 90th percentile. Like in line with James Cook and Isaiah Pacheco types, he has really good, you know, short burst speed. And, you know, he's averaged 9 yards a scramble this year, but he's only averaged one scramble a game. I compared his, you know, his potential rushing upside to Patrick Mahomes, ironically. And we've seen in the playoffs, similar to what Patrick Mahomes used to do, he's scrambled more in the playoffs. Purdy's been doing that. So he's rushed for 14 yards and 48 yards in the conference championship. So that's, I think he has more rushing upside than people realize. So he could end up getting, you know, 30 plus rushing yards and a rushing touchdown here. So I think he has more upside in the playoffs right now with him using his rushing ability. That's why I do like him here at 10K and especially in the captain slot. I think he's definitely worth a play there.
And yeah, I think like Mahomes is the second highest player I have projected on the slate, but you know, value-wise, it's a little bit closer with, you know, that top tier of guys. Yeah. I still think Mahomes is a good play, but remember, he's not a guy that, unlike Purdy, he's not a guy that's going to sneak it at the goal line. So he's going to have to do his likely through the air. He could scramble for a touchdown, but he's usually not going to get like a design rush attempt the way Purdy might for a touchdown. So that's something you have to kind of think about as you're creating lineups. I think Mahomes is, you know, the stacking options with him are a little more straightforward, whereas with Purdy, you can do things like, you know, if you think Purdy's going to get a rushing score, maybe you fade, you know, in lineups with him, you fade a guy like Christian McCaffrey and try to build a lineup that way, as scary as that sounds. But, you know, just something to think about for tournaments. But let's go to running back. So McCaffrey, highest projected player on the slate. He's actually, of all the, you know, non-cheap guys, he's like on a points per dollar basis, he's my highest value play. What about you? What are your thoughts on CMC? How much, like, if you're building tournament lineups, how much are you like fading him versus just letting it ride?
I think we have to play him. I think that's been a constant theme for both of us. Like, no matter how high they price him, he's still offering value. Just given there's less players to choose from, so he has just a bigger edge because of that. So yeah, I still think you got to go with McCaffrey. If anything, you and I were going to be more comfortable taking some of these cheaper guys anyway. So I think just because you're going with McCaffrey, he might be, you know, his rostership might be high. I think we're going to have a better shot than people, you know, taking McCaffrey at these, some of these, like, you know, fullbacks, third string tight end, something like that. I think we're going to be equipped to kind of tackle that. But yeah, like, I think McCaffrey's worth every penny at 12K, and Pacheco's no slouch at 8K. I think he's a good value there. Definitely a sneaky play because I think, you know, the Chiefs are going to lean on him even more here. We still don't know what the hell's going on with Jerick McKinnon. It sounds like he's going to be out. So I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is also worth a flyer at 1.2K. But what do you think about Kyle Juszczyk at $800? Is he somebody that, I mean, he's excellent salary relief, but do you think he has a high enough ceiling at that price to sprinkle in at like a higher rate than normal?
So I thought about this because obviously he's going to be, you know, really important kind of linchpin because he is on the field a lot.
Yeah.
The one thing I wonder about is, you know, Kyle Shanahan, such a deliberate play caller. And, you know, there's like guys like that. They don't want to show tendencies or they don't want to get too predictable. And I've noticed that Juszczyk is, you know, in the postseason under Shanahan, he's yet to be targeted in back-to-back games. And then this year he's had four other games where he's had at least 20 or more scrimmage yards, like he did in that conference championship where he caught a few balls. He's never really followed it up with anything other than a single digit at most. So we're still talking relatively small sample, but I think there's probably going to be other guys that I look to kind of be a little more overweight on in that tier, just because I don't know if I think we're pushing our luck a little bit with, like, you know, two like above expectation or way above expectation enough for it to matter in DFS Juszczyk games. So that's kind of where I'm at. What are your thoughts on Juice?
Yeah, no, I think that, like, it's between, like, if you have to take a cheap guy, it's between Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Juszczyk. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has the higher ceiling because there's always the unfortunate potential of Isaiah Pacheco, you know, having to leave the game early, and Edwards-Helaire, you know, seeing 10 plus touches. Juszczyk doesn't have that kind of ceiling. So I'm thinking in that range, I think Edwards-Helaire is worth the flyer. Again, if McKinnon is inactive, I think Edwards-Helaire at, you know, $1,200, you definitely want to sprinkle some of him in there.
Yeah. And I actually misspoke. I said McCaffrey was my highest point per dollar value. It's actually the two Chiefs in that 75 to 800. So it's Pacheco and Rice. Rice we'll talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Pacheco, I actually have projected higher than Brandon Ayuk by a couple of points, and Ayuk is more expensive. And I have Pacheco just like tiny bit above even a guy like Deebo Samuel. Deebo's more expensive. And so Pacheco for me is actually a guy that, you know, I know McCaffrey is going to be all the rage, and you know, two running backs doesn't always necessarily correlate in tournaments. So I think I will have lineups where I either fade McCaffrey or you know, Pacheco will be in the captain spot or something like that, because this Chiefs team, they have, like you mentioned, they're a dynasty. They have one of the best quarterbacks of all time, but because their defense is so good, one of their paths to winning is, you know, kind of riding the run game and playing some ball control and doing it that way. And last year, Mahomes only threw for $182 in the Super Bowl, but happened to throw three scores, you know. And then in the previous Niner Chiefs Super Bowl, Damian Williams ran for three scores. So there's certainly a path here for Pacheco to be the highest scoring player in this game. And at 8K, he allows you to do a lot of things that if you're just going like Mahomes or McCaffrey or even Kelsey or a guy like that in the captain spot doesn't let you do. So I think Pacheco's a really important kind of piece to building lineups. And I think I want to be overweight on him, because if you look at that Niner run defense, you know, you take out like garbage time, because like the Niners were in a lot of garbage time this year because they were up, and when you're up, you know, you're not really trying to play run defense. So you take those out and you look at the Niners' run defensive metrics, and they're just as bad as the Chiefs, if not worse in certain areas. And in the playoffs, they are worse. So I love me some Pacheco. That's one of my favorite values on this slate.
Yeah, so were you kind of alluding to, like, lineups with both running backs will be pretty contrarian? Because I can get behind that, especially if it's a Chiefs win, you know, Chiefs leading game script. You know, McCaffrey's still going to be involved in the passing game. So that, I think that's going to be the best game script for, like, a Pacheco and McCaffrey both hitting in the same lineup. And then maybe that lineup you can mix in a kicker or a defense or something like that. But I think there is a path, certainly, for both running backs to hit, because you mentioned it. I think that's going to be the game plan for both teams, is to attack their opponent's run defense. So I could get behind, you know, both running backs in your lineup.
You hear that, Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I know, right?
Man, but yeah, no, maybe contrary is not the right word, because it's a one game sweep. But I do think, you know, just the common DFS knowledge is that you generally don't want to, right, if you're trying to maximize your upside in tournaments, you don't want to have both running backs. But I could definitely see this being a case where, you know, I mean, McCaffrey just such a big part of the offense, that, you know, and Pacheco, we've both talked about this. Like, we don't really have Pacheco's touches projected too much lower than McCaffrey. You know, carry wise, it's about, you know, a couple of carries. And then obviously you're going to project McCaffrey for probably maybe another catch and a half to two more. But overall, they're definitely in the same neighborhood. So, yeah, like Pacheco, Mitchell, I think Mitchell is like, I don't know. I think that he wouldn't have played unless McCaffrey bangs his neck at the end of the last game. Any thoughts on Mitchell? Do you think he gets carries outside of a McCaffrey injury?
No. And he's like twice as expensive as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I'm projecting CEH with two more points. Like, I think CEH will get some touches. Whereas Mitchell, it's fair. Like, I know you took under 1.5 rush attempts, right?
I think
the most likely outcome is he gets one carry and no catches either. So, I am not touching him. He does have this similar in-game injury upside as Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If McCaffrey does unfortunately have to leave the game, Mitchell would, you know, crush at that price. But I just think CEH actually provides a higher floor where you can bank on him, you know, touching the ball a few times at least. So now I'm not getting much Mitchell. I think the backup to take is CEH right now.
Yeah, I totally agree, because there's also the possibility of Debo being the backup running back.
Oh,
you know, because like that was at the end of a game with McCaffrey. And so, you know, okay, we'll run Mitchell into the goal line and then we'll run him three more times to end it. But if it's like, we still have to score touchdowns or in the middle of the field or something, it may very well be Debo too. So that's another thing to kind of consider with Mitchell's value. All right, wide receiver. Here's where it's going to get interesting. I mentioned Rashee Rice. I know you like him as well. He's actually coming up is a really big value for me. I have him projected above Pacheco, above Ayuk, above Samuel, above Purdy. So only Kelce, Mahomes, and McCaffrey do I have projected higher than Rashee Rice. So I love him as a value. Any thoughts on him?
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. He should be priced similarly to Debo and Ayuk. I have him projected ahead of them as well in that 9K range, but he's 7,600, so he's a no-brainer. I mean, especially on a full PPR site, like DraftKings, his reception prop is 6.5, which I'm in line with. So he has that edge over Debo and Ayuk. And, you know, they tend to cancel each other out with, you know, Kittle and McCaffrey as well. And the Chiefs passing attack is so top heavy with Rice and Kelce that you just know he's going to get his. So he's a no-brainer play at 7,600.
Yeah, and he's starting to play over 90% of the pass snaps, where that wasn't always the case for much of the season. He did it in two out of the three playoff games. And the one he didn't, I believe he left for a couple plays. He was a little banged up. So expect him to probably get, you know, almost all of the relevant passing game snaps as well. Okay, let's see. Let's talk about so let's go Niners first. So Debo, Ayuk, those are the two, I guess, people. There's probably going to be a lot of situations where people are kind of deciding between them, because it's really hard to cover all your bases and get both of them in, outside of just, you know, straight up Purdy, you know, passing game onslaught type stacks. Any thoughts on those two value wise? What are you projecting there?
Yeah, I'm thinking Debo here, just because, you know, the Chiefs are a tough matchup. You know, when it comes to the secondary, and it sounds like, you know, they might try to get Legarius Sneed on Ayuk most of the time. Whereas Debo, it's just easier to set him up for mismatches, like you alluded to, give him more design rush attempts. Plus, he should be fully healthy now. I know he was playing through some pain in the championship round with the shoulder injury, so he's fully healthy. He has, I mean, don't get me wrong with Ayuk, he has a massive ceiling, but this is a spot where we have to lower expectations a bit. So out of the two, I would definitely go with Debo here.
Yeah, Ayuk is my lowest projected, you know, straight up like point per dollar value of those guys in that top tier, you know, above 6K. So I think he's perfect for tournaments because, you know, in cash game, like he's like the worst value of the expensive guys. But there are a couple of things working for him to still hit his ceiling and be valuable in a tournament setting. Number one is, like, he's not as sexy as McCaffrey or Debo, and he's not as cheap as Kittle. So right there, like, his rostership might be the lowest of the, you know, main 49er players just based off that. But also, yeah, the Chiefs are, you know, one of the best pass defenses in the league, but because of that, they play a ton of man coverage. And Brandon Ayuk going up against man coverage, he was one of the best receivers. He was top five this year against man coverage and yards per route run, according to Pro Football Focus. So there's, you know, Ayuk has the skill to kind of match up with Jarius Sneed, which, by the way, has been one of my favorite corners. So it's, it's not an easy matchup at all if that's who he gets. But I think it just kind of makes it, it's like it sets the delineation really perfectly, where it's like, you know, Rice, Pacheco, those Debo, all those guys a lot more, you know, cash game, you know, leaning type plays where you want a higher floor. But Ayuk is the perfect tournament play because he's the lowest value. So, you know, even in, you know, people using like the lineup generators and stuff, like he's going to come up the least in those just because of he's, you know, I'm sure just throughout the industry, he's probably going to have the lowest projected value among these guys. So that's how I would use Ayuk. I want to talk about MVS real quick. MVS, this is like probably one of the most interesting and nerdy questions of the Super Bowl for people like us.
I think I know what it's
going to be. It's so like the whole year Marquez Valdes-Scantling was around a 65% route participation rate, right? He would jump up to 75, maybe even 80 a couple times, but for the most part, it's 65. But we all saw like Patrick Mahomes trusting him more and more down the stretch. And then in the most important game of the year, he gets a 96% rate. So I guess my question is, number one, what are you actually projecting for this game for his route rate? But number two, like, what are the chances that he gets like that full 96% again, essentially 100%, like every snap? Because that would give him some added upside even compared to what I think, you know, the median is. So what are your thoughts on just how to project that?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. It looked like it just came all at the expense of Mecole Hardman, from what I saw. So I have him right around 75%. I could probably get behind like 80%. I mean, he could obviously have 96%. He just did last week. But, you know, this is one of those situations. I think it will regress down. So I have him right around the 75% range. I do have Mecole Hardman like back up to 15%. But yeah, that just goes to show like his upside is massive. You know, he doesn't see many targets, but if he's out there, every Mahomes drop back, you know, going deep, it just increases the chances that he will catch deep pass. I think the fact that he did have, you know, back-to-back good games, you know, he had two catches for 62 yards in the divisional round, then two catches for 38 in the conference championship. So he is, you know, providing them value with all this playing time. So I do think it will stick, but I can't project it to be over 90. So I have it 75 to 80%. What about you?
I have it 85%. The way I got there is I essentially used like the last couple of games and I just weighted them like in the inverse. So like like three games. Like I think I used three games, and like the most recent game was worth three. The second most recent game was worth two, and like came out to about 80 around 85%. Right. So I'm going to have them there. I think that's kind of what the books are using, because my numbers are lining up with them pretty well. But like, yeah, I see the point is MVS is a guy where there is some added upside, because I don't think anyone's projecting him to run another 96%, but because that was the most important game of the year, that's very possible. So he's a guy, I know you look at like the quarter splits and stuff. He's a guy that like, also if they're trailing, right, would probably be a lot better option than like a trailing game score, right? And and Justin Watson's kind of similar. He's another guy. I know you bet what, the under 3.5 yards first quarter.
Yes, I did. At minus 110, baby. Yeah. I would there do it again too.
So so that's kind of the same deal with those two guys. I will say, you know, Watson is 6K cheaper now. His route rate usually is a little more stable. Yeah, sorry, 600. Wow, yeah, not 6K. That would be amazing. You'd be negative priced.
Yeah, negative $3,000. You get to buy somebody else.
Take him. Yeah, right. but no. So he's $600 cheaper on DK, and I have him projected just a couple of tenths below MVS. So a little bit better of a point per dollar value, but I would think that he's going to be a little bit lower owned than MVS just because of the two big games. So he's a decent pivot, especially in lineups where you're thinking, okay, Kansas City may get behind.
Yeah, well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I do think he has a low floor in the first quarter. I don't want him catching any passes, but he typically does his damage in the second quarter, I'm guessing, because, you know, the 2-minute offense, whenever the Chiefs are in a pass heavy, maybe comeback situation, Watson has a ton of upside. And while we're projecting, you know, MVS to run more routes, neither player gets targeted that much, so the extra routes doesn't give him that much of a boost. Yeah. So, you know, that both players are projected to be around 1.5 catches, and, you know, both players are, you know, downfield threats. He can make a big play. So, yeah, I agree. I think that the fact that Watson's cheaper, he's probably overlooked. I think that he's a great play at 2,400. Really, those three receivers right there, like Juwan Jennings, MVS, Justin Watson, I have them all projected around the same median. But, you know, Watson's the cheapest of the three, and he'll probably be overlooked. So I do agree. I think Watson is a pretty sneaky play. I just don't want him to have any catches in the first quarter is all.
He won't. It's okay. No, he usually doesn't. Yeah,
usually does. Four catches all year in the first quarter. So
nuts. And speaking of Jennings, yeah, he's 3,600. MVS is 3K. And Watson's 2,400 on DraftKings. I actually have Jennings projected the lowest of the three by a few tenths. So he's the guy that I'll be, you know, the lowest. I'll have the least of just because of that. You know, he's another guy kind of projected right around 1.5 catches. But I think San Francisco has just been so deliberate about, you know, who they're targeting. Everyone's healthy for this game, so it's going to be tough for Jennings unless you get like another Debo injury or something. Yeah. Like that. I do like Richie James, though. He's only 400, and he played 17 snaps, ran 8 routes, which is about a 17% rate in the conference championship. For the playoffs, he's averaged a 20% route participation rate. So he is the wide receiver 4. And last Super Bowl, you know, Sky Moore scored as the wide receiver 4, his first touchdown of the year. Tony scored on one catch as like the wide receiver 5, playing, I think, even less than 20%. Of the pass snaps in that game. So I think Richie James, like his first touchdown of the year, is totally possible in this spot. And I think he's, you know, on a point per dollar basis, he's like a better value than all of those other like cheap guys in like the two to three K range. What do you think of James?
Oh yeah, no, I love that call. He has the added upside of being their kick returner, so you could stack him with the Chiefs defense. I have a bet on him to have the most return yards in that game. He's been really aggressive in returning punts, probably too aggressive. And the Niners punter, Mitch Wishnowski, just booms it, kicks it low. So it's very returnable. They've had the fourth worst punt return coverage DVOA as well. So I think there is a path for Richie James to also have a punt return. a touchdown. Like you said, even as like the fourth or fifth receiver, he could end up catching a couple passes. And yeah, he's mega salary relief at $400. So I think he provides enough upside in that range to definitely, you know, have some shares of.
Yeah, he's the and then Hardman, you know, it's like what, 0 to 15% project, somewhere in there will probably be where he lands.
And so he can do some damage with just one catch too, but yeah, it's really hard to project him for anything more than that. But he does have that upside of, if he does get a touch, he could take it to the house.
Yeah, he's four times as costly as James, so it's tough to justify unless you're like, right. I would say like making, you know, you're close to the max amount of entries in like a bigger contest. you get some Hardman in, but like point per dollar projection, things like that. Yeah, he's minus EV. Okay, let's go to tight end. And I know you like Noah Gray a lot. Talk to me about Noah Gray.
Yeah, so he's, you know, 1,800, and I have him in the same tier as those three receivers, Juwan Jennings, MBS, Justin Watson. The common theme with all four players is their receptions prop is 1.5. They're basically a coin flip at 1.5, yet he's, you know, twice as cheap. You know, granted, he doesn't have the same big play upside as the three wide receivers, but he still has, you know, touchdown upside. You know, in the red zone, the Chiefs tend to use more 2 to 3 tight end personnel than other teams, and they've ramped that up even more in the playoffs. So he's out there quite a bit, and, you know, even though he's the backup tight end, he's, you know, a decent bet for a couple of catches here. So I think he's definitely worth the flyer at 1,800. Just considering those three wide receivers we talked about are, you know, twice as expensive. So I do like Noah Gray at that price tag.
Yeah, the Chiefs have definitely, and I think we'll continue to go with more heavy personnel. For that reason, like, I even like Blake Bell, like, you know, just on the off chance he catches a touchdown. Yeah. He's min price, so I think he's worth some shots. Kelsey, we kind of know what he is. Like, he's 18 touchdowns in 17 games with Mahomes. He's scored in 13 out of 17 postseason games, that is. So I think he'll find a way to put up a good game in this spot. But the guy I really want to talk about is Kittle, because he is in a tier where it's Rashee Rice at 7,600, who we love as a value, and then Kittle at 6,400, and then Jake Moody is like the next guy at 5,200. So there's a $2,400 price gap where the only guy is George Kittle, and he's right in the middle of it. So what are your thoughts on Kittle and his value, and just like, you know, given that he's kind of the linchpin, where do you lean as far as like playing him, fading him, or what?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I like Rashee Rice a lot more than Kittle, so I think paying up those extra $1,200 is well worth it. And I like Kittle way more than Jake Moody, so that is an interesting dynamic. I wonder if that means his ownership will be more or less than we expect. But this this toe injury is a concern. It doesn't look like it's going to impact him too much. So maybe just having the questionable tag and the hospital icon next to him will help, you know, hurt his ownership a bit. But, you know, Kittle's one of those guys that he has just a massive, I would say, range of outcomes, because he has a really, really high ceiling, you know, one of the highest at the tight end position. Where, you know, sometimes he can be the odd man out if it's a Debo, Ayuk, McCaffrey game as well. So I think that on a showdown site like this, I'm absolutely taking some flyers. You know, I think some of his props are too low too. Like, his longest reception at 20.5 yards seems kind of low, but he's that kind of guy where he might only catch a few passes, but every time he catches it, it's an explosive play. He has touchdown upside. So yeah, I do like Kittle, maybe not for like his medium projection at his price tag, but certainly in terms of roster construction, because like you said, he's in no man's land where you can kind of create some unique lineups with him because of that.
Yeah, yeah, he's definitely not up there with Rice in terms of or even Pacheco in projected points per dollar. I think the way to use him, I think you do have to kind of go out of your way to be a little more contrarian, because I do think, since he's the cheapest like stud caliber player, he is in that weird tier, that he is going to get a lot of he's going to be very popular. So But I also think people are going to kind of sprinkle him in anytime they have like a Purdy, you know, Debo stack or a Purdy Ayuk stack, something like that. He's going to get sprinkled in. So I think, you know, the way I would kind of use it is maybe fade him in most of my Samuel or Ayuk lineups and kind of play him maybe just with McCaffrey and Purdy or something, like just something to get a little bit of differentiation versus I feel like he's going to be that kind of guy that's sprinkled in everywhere because he just fits so well at 6,400, whereas, you know, there's so many studs that you're trying to jam in anyway. And there are options, you know, like fill it out. So yeah, that's how I think just try to be a little contrarian with how you use him in roster construction.
I didn't even think of that. Makes a ton of sense. Anybody that has like 7,500 left over, will just be like, oh, well, I might as well just take Kittle, you know? So that does make sense.
Okay. And then, so there's like a tier three, like that Moody starts it off. It's the kickers and the defenses. I'm curious because, like, I actually have Bucker projected more than a point above Moody. Bucker's a little bit like $200 cheaper. Are you in line with that, or do you have Moody projected for more? How are you looking at these two kickers?
Yeah, no, I have Bucker projected for 0.4 more.
Okay,
and he's $200 cheaper. So, I would definitely go with Bucker there. But one of those things. What do you think? Like the rostership breakdown will be. I would assume Bucker would be the more popular one. So I think it's pretty obvious he shouldn't be the cheaper one. So I don't know. I would take flyers of both because you're just banking on, you know, that team maybe stalling in the red zone or whatnot. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Bucker should be the more expensive one.
Yeah. And for this, I wouldn't look at ownership as much just because I think all these guys should be and probably will be owned pretty low. For the kicker to hit, probably need, you know, lower scoring game than usual, but we have seen Bucker with quite a few of these, like, you know, double digit, fantasy games. So, I like Bucker more. I'll be on him, heavier. As far as the defenses, the Niners are, 10K more than the Chiefs. And I have the Niners projected for a little bit, like maybe like 0.2 of a point more, but I, you know, like not a full 1K difference.
Right.
So, I like the Chiefs defense for value as well. Any thoughts on those two?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually have, the Chiefs for 0.1 more projected points. So yeah, the $1,000, it's a no brainer. I mean, just Mahomes, he's just tough to sack. So that's probably the stickiest thing to project for defenses. So that's a big hit. I would say Purdy's more likely to turn it over as well. So it's kind of a no-brainer. I think that people will realize that. But yeah, I think they should be evenly priced. So the fact that the Niners are 1K more expensive is incorrect, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with that is, I mean, in tournaments, the defense tends to have a higher ceiling because you can get like an 8-point play from the defense. You know, if you get a interception pick six or something like that, or a fumble six or a sack fumble six would be 9 points, I guess. Right. Yeah. 9 points. So the kickers can only get, you know, what, max 5 points, high ceiling play. So the kicker, the defenses are generally the ones you want to lean toward in tournaments. So yeah, the Chiefs do stick out. You could also stack them with Richie James, who will be returning.
You could have a 12-point play.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, let's go to DK. We'll each build a lineup, and so that'll be interesting because that'll force us to kind of make some plays that maybe we wouldn't make on a normal slate, but just kind of figuring out how to fill out lineup construction with different builds. You can start us off with a pick. It doesn't have to be the captain pick if you don't want it to be, just because we're going to do a DK showdown, but just whatever pick you want to make, you're up first.
Well, I'm going to do a double whammy here. I'm going to take Rashee Rice in the captain slot.
Okay. Like it. He's just such a good value. I'm going to go ahead and grab a Richie James at 400 just to get my cheapest guy out of the way.
In the captain slot or flex?
No, I'm joking. Absolutely not.
Could you imagine? I've seen stranger things happen in showdown slates, but let's see. So yeah, I'll take Noah Gray.
All right. Let's go Christian McCaffrey, captain. Just do it the cheapest guy that I like in James. I'll go McCaffrey in the captain spot. That leaves me 7,900 for the last four. Who you got for your third?
Yeah, that is the optimal play. Well, since I have Rashee Rice and Noah Gray, I'm going to just take Patrick Mahomes to get that stat going.
All right. I'll take my other favorite value in that mid-range, Isaiah Pacheco. At 8K, right on the remaining. So I have 78-66 for the last three now.
You have the dual running back stack there. All right. I'm going to go with so I have about 8,700 remaining per player. I'm going to go with Debo.
All right. Let's go Kelsey. 10.2. That gives me 67 left, but I need to get some share of the Chiefs passing game. I got McCaffrey, Pacheco. Yeah, exactly.
Mahomes, throw it to everybody but Kelsey, please. good luck with that. Oh, man. I'm going to take the other quarterback. I think I can make this work. I'm going to take Brock Purdy.
All right. So I got 6,700. So that kind of forces me to take Ayuk because he's the only the only guy that's even going to matter salary-wise. Because, you got Mahomes and Purdy and Debo. I got McCaffrey. Kelsey Pacheco. So I'll go Brandon Ayuk. So that gives me 4,600.
I got worried. I thought you said you had 6,700 left for one more player or something. I know that didn't make sense, but I thought there was only one player that you could take there. We talked about him. So and then I was screwed. So I have $7,000 left. And we kind of talked about this. So I'm going to go George Kittle at 6,400.
Yeah, that's I feel like a lot of people are going to run into that exact same thing. Okay, so I have 4,600 left. Niners defense, Juwan Jennings, MVS. Let's see. Watson's in play. I'm going to go with the upside. Give me MVS because I like that upside of him potentially running like 95% route rate in this game. So and since you have Mahomes, if he does complete a big play, it's most likely going to be to MVS downfield. So we'll go MVS at 3K. We have 1,600 on the table. So that's actually like if somebody was kind of following this, you could actually bump like Richie James up to like a Noah Gray or something like that too. So there's a lot of options even with McCaffrey in the captain spot. All right, recap, what you got?
Yeah, so my captain slot, I went with Rashee Rice, and then I went with both quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy, Debo Samuel, George Kittle, and Noah Gray.
I got CMC in the captain spot, and then Kelsey, Pacheco, Ayuk, MVS, and Richie James. And with Richie James, you can kind of swap him out with whoever your favorite cheap guy under 2K would be, so... let's see how that goes. And that's going to do it for this another season of Fantasy Flex. We thank everybody for tuning in each and every week. If you're still looking for more betting content, check out the Action Network podcast channel. We have our Propapalooza episode out. We have just a bunch of episodes, the six pack with Stucky and I. So we're breaking all that down. Actionnetwork.com for all of our NFL betting and fantasy content, fantasylabs.com for our DFS tools and models. Don't forget the Discord server. Link will be in the episode description for that. Don't forget the Fantasy Sync feature of the Action Network app, which Sean is at @_oddsmaker. I'm at Chris Raybon. We're at those same handles on Twitter. Shout out to all of our producers, David Payne, the video team, everybody. And again, thank you for listening. Good luck. Enjoy the Super Bowl 58. And we'll be back probably in around a little before draft time. So until then, let's get this money.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.